What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes. This is the Weekly Dime, the show where we round up the most recent happenings in the world of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod, and I'm joined by the man who stood me up for pickup basketball on Sunday. Rafael, how are you doing, man?
Actually, that's not true.
You did, yeah.
I was there. I went to the...
Yesterday, on Sunday. No, Saturday, actually. You stood me up.
Okay, you're confused with your weekdays.
Originally I said Sunday. Monday, there was no court available, but Saturday you did stand me up.
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest. But I believe you.
I believe myself as well. You must be pretty happy. Your Blazers just snagged the number 8 spot on the Western Conference by beating the Mavericks on the last second, basically. And are now very well shot from Damian Lillard. How are you feeling? Are you excited? Are you upset as you usually are?
I'm very excited. I'm enjoying watching the Trail Blazers play. Still, I feel like the games have been more heart-stopping, or they've been more exciting than they need to be. Both the games that we managed to win and also when we lost, I think we had the control of the game, and we could have closed the game earlier on. And I just feel like we always go back to that old habit of keeping games open and giving our opponents a second chance to come back. So that's something that we need to work on. But they're definitely playing much better than they were playing before when we saw them in Portland. And of course, we need to keep in mind that we had a very injury-prone season until COVID-19, and now we finally have almost the whole team back. So I think that's part of the reason why we're playing so much better.
That and a man called Damian Lillard. I mean, without Damian Lillard, the Blazers wouldn't be anywhere close to where they are right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I hate to say this, and trust me, I really, really hate to say this, but the second best player on our team as far as scoring has been Carmelo, not CJ McCollum.
So you heard it here first. Rafael said something positive about Melo. That's a first. And you know what? I'm surprised, but I'm happy for you for coming to the light side about Carmelo Anthony, because he's been really putting an effort out there.
Well, I mean, that's all I ever asked from him. I just want to see you behave like a professional basketball player and take care of yourself.
I can go back to our first episode and probably there's some slander about Carmelo somehow.
For sure. I mean, he was one of these guys that stopped caring for a long time. He was a retired NBA player, still on a contract.
But he's out there to prove everyone wrong, and even some fans, I guess, including yourself.
He's doing what he's paid to do, right? He's keeping himself in shape and putting a good effort on defense and then scoring the ball.
Just over the weekend, you were somewhat incredulous that Carmelo Anthony would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I still think that he shouldn't be one.
That discussion, let's leave it for another day. But I'm just saying that your journey from Melo shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame to kudos to Melo. You know what?
Yeah. No, I mean, if he extends his contract to the Trail Blazers and he keeps playing the way he's playing now, showing that he cares, showing that he still believes he can achieve something in the league, and the desire is still there, I think that he could prove to all of us, and he could prove me wrong, that he deserves to be a Hall of Famer. But right now, I mean, I don't remember when was the last time that he played well other than now with the Trail Blazers.
I mean, I don't want to make this a whole discussion about Carmelo, but I mean, he has some really good years in New York and Denver. I don't think his legacy is based on what he does with the Blazers.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the very exciting race to the 8th in the West. As of today, August 11th, the Blazers are in control of their destiny, basically. They just leapfrogged the Grizzlies to be on the eighth spot, like we just mentioned. And the Grizzlies were bumped down.
We did what with the Grizzlies?
Leapfrogged. You've never heard that? Okay.
Yeah. No, no. I didn't understand at first. Sounded some like something else. I just wanted to double check.
Your comments to yourself until I'm done here.
Okay.
We're trying to act like we're professional.
Oh, yeah.
Not doing a very good job, clearly. Anyways, the Grizzlies are in ninth spot now with the same record as the Suns, who are in 10th place. And the Spurs are somewhat still alive. So Thursday is going to be a very exciting day because all three of those teams are playing. Obviously, the two teams that need a victory are the Grizzlies and the Suns. Obviously, the Suns need the Grizzlies to lose for them to be on the play-in against the Blazers. And the Blazers, even if they lose, they should still be fine. They've punched their ticket into the play-in. So it is really a battle between the Grizzlies and the Suns to see who will play the Blazers for that playing spot for the eighth seed on the West. I think this race to the eighth is the most exciting narrative from the NBA bubble. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very exciting. And we knew that that was going to be the case, right? There's a reason why they didn't bring that many teams from the East.
But I didn't think that it was going to be this close. I mean,
yeah,
I think it is safe to say that, you know, we considered that maybe the Kings and the Suns, for sure, I consider them to be, you know, one of those teams that got an invite out of pity. But, I mean, Devin Booker is out there taking names. I'm wearing my Suns shirt right now because I'm that excited about the Valley Boys. And I definitely didn't think it was going to be this close. Not even remotely close to what it's going to be. Everyone, and we all thought that the Pelicans had the biggest chance at maybe going into the eighth spot and have that duel between LeBron and Zion. But nope. Here comes the Blazers and the Suns, and they really want to get there.
And I mean, just think about next season. If the Suns carry this momentum to next season, I mean, they're going to be a scary team. And imagine how the playoff run is going to be next season. If you have another team on the Suns and then you have the Pelicans, you have another two teams that can fight for that eighth spot. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I hope that the Trailblazers do a better job earlier on next season, because otherwise it's going to be very hard for us to make it to the playoffs next season. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Ahead of yourself. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just trying to predict what's going to happen, right? But hey, let's take it back to this game that just finished, the Trailblazers and the Mavs. Damian Lillard scored 61 points.
I mean,
61. And last game, he scored 51. So, I mean, he's been killing it. And he's been also very active on Twitter, on Instagram. He's not taking shit from any other players or media, people from the media. And I like this version of Damian Lillard, to be honest. I like this vocal Damian Lillard.
No, but this has been Damian Lillard. I don't think that this is a, you know, bubble Lillard or anything. This is who Damian Lillard has always been. You know, this all stems back from the most recent loss that was 3 games ago now against the Clippers, when Damian Lillard missed those clutch free throws. And then he was getting some trash talk from Patrick Beverley, from Paul George. It elevated all the way to social media where they were posting stuff about each other. And then their families got involved. I think Damian Lillard's sister was talking crap to Paul George's wife. And they were not, I mean, the guys were taking subtle punches and, you know, making some sassy comments, but their family members, their relatives were going at each other's throats to the point where allegedly right before the beginning of the Blazers game, there were reports that Damian Lillard and Paul George sort of cleared the air out because he was getting out of hand between their family members. So they're apparently in good terms now.
Yeah, no, but I don't know if you saw the comments that Damian Lillard made about about what happened with Paul George and Patrick Beverley. So he gave an interview and he said that, you know what? The fact that they were celebrating so much when I missed the free throws, it just shows how much respect they have for me and how much they are hurt from the times that I sent them home before during the playoffs. So
that's Damian Lillard. I mean, he's cold-blooded. He's not afraid. He's, you know, he always said that he was a superstar, an all-star, I should say. And he can back it up. He can back that talk with actual results, right?
Yeah, and he knows exactly where to poke Paul George to make it hurt.
Oh, so, totally.
I mean, whenever he said, you know what, you just keep changing teams, that's exactly what he needed to say to provoke him.
I mean, they had it coming, both Patrick Beverley and Paul George, because, you know, Patrick Beverley was sidelined for that game and he was doing the Dame Time celebration. And then he did the wave when the Blazers lost. So they poked the bear, maybe not necessarily to their disadvantage, because, you know, the Blazers, if they make it into the playoffs, they're not going to face the Clippers right away. But they pissed off Damian Lillard and he's had tremendous games after that. Like you said, 51 points and today 61. Having said that, you know, I think that on one hand, you know, the Blazers are incredibly lucky to have Damian Lillard in their team. But, you know, if Damian has a bad game, then the Blazers go down.
I mean, CJ needs to play better. Today he scored 8 points. I mean, that's not what we expect from him. But at the same time, I mean, Damian Lillard took 32 shots. So I don't know to what extent it's a matter of CJ not taking responsibility and trying to score more, or if it's a matter of the whole team knowing that Damian Lillard is the one that it's on fire right now and he should be the one taking the shots, right? So we need to see if they will be able to distribute those shots better whenever Damian Lillard is struggling and if other guys will be able to step up.
It's going to be interesting, especially in the playoffs when you're facing the same opponent at least 4 times and there's extra pressure. I mean, not that there's no pressure right now, but, you know, obviously you wanted a clearer path into the playoffs. The Blazers are obviously coming from behind in terms of winning percentage, and now they've made it into the playoffs or as of today. So, and they still have to go through the play-in. So even if it's just that one extra game, that's one extra game that the Lakers don't have to play and everyone can rest. But then again, we get into that debate of, well, maybe the Blazers, you know, that's good for the Blazers to sort of get into better shape for the playoffs. So I don't know, but it's definitely exciting. It's been very distracting for my daily, for my 9-to-5 to have all these games start so early and paying attention to the Suns, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, and even the Spurs for that matter.
Yeah, and today I'm looking at the stats here, and one guy that he started the bubble basketball league on fire, and now he needs to step up again. It's Gary Trent Jr. because today he only made 1 3-pointer out of 6 attempts, and he's one of the guys that was stepping up, and he was one of the guys that brought us back when we needed that spark. So I think we will need him to play at the same level if we want to make a good playoff run. And Carmelo, I'm looking at Carmelo here. I mean, Damian Lillard, 9 out of 17 from 3-point. So that's like 53%. That's amazing. 9 out of 17. So, and Carmelo did well as well. Other than that, the other guys, the three guys in double digits were Damian Lillard with 61, Carmelo Anthony with 26, Gary Trent with 11, and oh, there's one more guy, Zach Collins with 11. Other than that, all the other players were under 10 points. So, yeah.
It's going to be an exciting finish. Obviously, like we said, the Blazers are in It doesn't matter what happens on Thursday. Obviously, I think they're going to go for the win. But it's up to the Grizzlies and up to the Suns. And on Thursday, the Grizzlies are facing the Bucks. So not necessarily good for them. And the Suns are facing the Mavericks, so the team that the Blazers beat today, which is not an easy rival, but the Mavericks are also locked in into the seventh spot on the West. So I assume that both teams, the Bucks and the Mavericks, will rest a lot of their players because they won't really care about the result. It doesn't matter for them. It's the game before the playoffs start, so whoever can beat the team first, I guess, and whichever opponent between the Bucks and the Mavericks decides to screw that team over, then that's who's going to get to play the Blazers for the eighth spot in the West.
Yeah. Do you remember why Rodney Hood didn't go to the bubble?
He's still rehabbing.
Was it a family member that was sick or something like that?
No, he's still rehabbing from his injury. From that game that we were in.
Yeah.
He got injured. I can't remember if it was his ACL. I think it was the ACL. But he's still recovering and, you know, he's still not ready to go back.
I'll tell you what, nobody's thinking about him now. I mean, we are playing much better than we were before, so.
I mean, if I were you, honestly, I wouldn't mind the extra help. Especially, like you said, the only person that has been consistent is Damian Lillard. And I don't think, and this is not a knock on Damian Lillard, but unless he goes into a Michael Jordan, Kobe mentality where he scores 40 points for the next 5 games, that is sustainable. Other people have to step up.
Yeah.
But that's, let's also talk about the Suns, who are the only undefeated team in the bubble. And my personal MVP from the bubble, Devin Booker, who's been on an absolute tear as well. He's on another planet. And the Suns, I mean, I frankly, I've already mentioned it, I thought they got a pit invite and they were just there for the trip and they were going to get a nice paid vacation like the Wizards. And here we are talking about them potentially also making it to the playoffs. They are the only undefeated team in the entire bubble. And according to Tankathon.com, who ranks the chances of every team to get into to have a better position in the draft, but they did a ranking of which teams had the toughest schedule in the bubble. And at number one were the Raptors, although they're good. And then the Blazers were at number 5, the Grizzlies at number 6, and the Suns were at number 7. So equally difficult, all of them. And the Suns are the ones that have risen to the occasion, actually. And the Grizzlies are on the opposite side of the coin, a complete meltdown at this point.
And I think we're going to need to sit and talk about Frank the Tank and what we want to do with him, because we had agreed previously that every team that had Frank the Tank would automatically be tanking. And this time he's there with the Suns and he's about to make it to the playoffs. So I don't know what to say. I think
Frank the Tank needs to be retired and we have to get that man another nickname or find another Frank the Tank.
And you know what other player? It's with the Suns and it's another player that I love to say his name every time.
Ricky Rubio?
No.
I don't know.
Shake Diallo.
I don't know what's it with you and jokes this time of the year, or they're getting really bad. You need to go out and get some fresh air.
Yes, I think I need more human interaction.
I think so too, yes.
I haven't had the chance to test my jokes with human beings lately, so I think that's the problem.
Clearly. Many Zoom calls are not good for you.
Yeah, but my computer never complains about my jokes.
Yeah, no, but let's maybe you want to send me the jokes before we start recording.
No. That wouldn't make it sound natural. It needs to be natural, right?
Moving on. The Grizzlies, like I mentioned, a big disappointment. They've only won one game in the entire bubble. And I don't think that even if they play against Milwaukee's bench that they'll win on Thursday, which means that they would go from a comfortable position in the playoffs to being eliminated. What do you think, Raf?
I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of like Ja Morant being a young player and maybe he assumed that their spot was almost guaranteed and they didn't take the seeding games seriously enough. I don't know what's going on. I mean, to be honest, I haven't watched their game, so I'm not sure if I can give you an accurate diagnosis of what's going on, but what do you think is happening? I mean, do you think it's just because they're too young and they took the seeding games softly, or what do you think is going on, Rodrigo?
I don't think it's on Ja Morant, to be honest. I personally think that he's proven that he's ready for the league. He's not putting up, you know, Damian Lillard or Devin Booker's numbers, but he's done it all. Or at least it seems that he's giving his best effort out there every game. And just the team that is around him that is just not picking up their part of the weight to help Ja Morant win games. I mean, there are times where Dylan Brooks has, you know, goes on a bit of a streak, or Brandon Clark, Canadian guy, also goes on a bit of a streak and has been playing okay, but no one is consistent. And, you know, you have guys like Anthony Tolliver, who is a starting guy, but has 0 points in the
end. He used to be with the Trailblazers.
He's probably been with all other 29 teams as well. But yeah, he went scoreless in the game, and that's unacceptable for a starter, right? Valanciunas is, you know, I've never been a huge fan of him. He's good for the pick and roll, but he's not very dynamic. And yeah, I don't know if it's a coach. It's a young team, yes, and this is sort of their first year together with a new coach, with a new system, and they've been playing against, you know, mostly playoffs teams. So it's still, you know, they lost against the Pelicans, they lost against the Spurs. So there's really no excuse for them.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see him playing in the playoffs, Ja Morant. But at the same time,
did you say Jay? It's Ja.
No, I said Ja, right?
Ja.
Did I?
You said Jay. It's Ja. Say it with me, so, Ja.
Anyways, I would love to see him playing in the playoffs this year. But at the same time, I'm super happy that they are not making it, because it means that we are going to make it.
All right. Do you think, let's put it on wax here. Shout out to Jalen and Jacoby. Who's going into the playoffs? Obviously.
I think that the Trailblazers are going to play the tournament against the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
And I think the Phoenix Suns are going to go to the playoffs.
Oh, what? Wait, did you sabotage your own team? Why?
Because sometimes you avoid saying things because you don't want to jinx it, right?
So don't be a coward. Don't be a coward. Give me the real stuff. Who do you think is going to make it to the playoffs? If I wanted a soft take, I would go to Evans. Miss you, man. I'm sorry. I should have gone there. I miss you, Evs. I miss you.
He's not even here, and you're taking shots at him. What the heck?
I know, but he usually gives me the, you know, the love for the game kind of answer. So, no, give me your real take. Who is taking the number 8 spot in the West? Go.
Okay, so if the Trailblazers play against the Grizzlies for the 8th spot, then the Trailblazers are going to the playoffs. If we play against the Suns, I think the Suns are going to the playoffs.
Wow. For the longest time in I can remember, we agree. I think that if the playing is against the Grizzlies, you guys will take it in the first game. And if it's against the Suns, I don't know why, but I just have some blinding trust in the Suns right now.
I mean, they're rolling, right? So it's going to be a very tough matchup for us if we end up playing the Suns.
And I think the, you know, with the Suns, what I think would be a problem for the Blazers is that, yes, you have Devin Booker, but everyone else, DeAndre Ayton, Mario Hezonja.
He's with us.
I know. I'm sorry.
Ricky Rubio?
Not Ricky Rubio. But my point is that everyone is sort of playing their part in the team, and everyone is doing okay. They're playing as a unit. And for the Blazers, you know, they really depend on Damian Lillard having a fantastic game every time. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, you know, with years of having Kobe as our main scorer and depending on him, you also count on the idea that they will deliver, right? There's a reason why they're superstars.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely prefer not to have to play against the Suns.
Sorry. I was talking about Saric.
Saric, yeah. But I mean, it would be an exciting matchup, that's for sure. My concern is that they have a point guard that can really control the tempo. Ricky Rubio, he can really read the game and decide what's the best approach for every possession.
Having Ricky Rubio defending Damian Lillard, I mean, that for Damian is barbecue chicken. I mean, Ricky Rubio is not a fantastic defender as it is, but he's a really good point guard in the traditional sense and knows how to look for the open man, that's for sure.
Yeah. But one thing that I wanted to mention is that if Ja Morant doesn't make it to the playoffs, then we could have a very good discussion about Donovan Mitchell and Ja Morant, because Donovan Mitchell took the Jazz to the playoffs when he was a rookie. And I don't know if their teams were, if you compare the Utah Jazz that made it to the playoffs when Donovan Mitchell was a rookie, I don't think it was a much better team than what Ja Morant is working with the Grizzlies right now. Do you think that they were much better than what the Grizzlies are right now?
I mean, Utah hasn't gone through a lot of transformations, to be honest. So the team is somewhat similar to what they are.
They had Ricky Rubio back then. Ricky Rubio was the point guard.
Yeah.
They had Rudy Gobert was there, and then Donovan Mitchell. These were the three most important players, I think.
Joe Ingles was there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, not like he's a difference maker, but, you know, he can drain down a couple of shots. They have now Mike Conley, so, you know, upgrade.
Yeah, he was not there when he made it to the playoffs for the first time. But I think that Donovan Mitchell is one guy that sometimes people don't give as much credit as he deserves.
I don't know.
He's an amazing player.
He made his name known in the NBA, and you cannot underestimate him. And Ja, I mean, it's unfortunate if they don't make it into the playoffs, because they were overachieving and they are a young, exciting team to watch. I mean, Ja Morant has a highlight every other play, and it's very exciting to watch him play. So it would be very disappointing if they cannot make it and get that playoffs experience early in his career. Because like you mentioned, next year, teams are just going to come stronger. You have the Warriors coming back into the mix. The Pelicans are supposedly going to get even better. Obviously, the Grizzlies, the Mavericks, all that, you know, mid to bottom of the Western Conference would make it just a lot harder for the Grizzlies to be as good.
The Warriors next year are going to be contenders as well. They're going to be fighting for playoff spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the West, you're going to have all the teams fighting with real chances of making to the playoffs. That's amazing. Maybe except the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I got a message this morning. Today? I think so. I can't remember if it was yesterday at night or this morning, from one of our friends, Jem, who we went to the Blazers game with. And he said something very true. He said, I'd rather take 10 teams from the West and cut some teams from the East to have the playoffs be more entertaining. And he's absolutely right. I mean, if you made the cut for the 10 playoff teams in the West, you would include the Grizzlies, the Suns, and the Blazers. And, you know, you can cut out easily the Nets and the Magic from the East and still have a good playoff series.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, it's never, I don't think it's going to change in the near future. I'm not going to say never, but
no.
I don't think this structure is going to change in the near future. It's always been like this, but I think that it would be interesting if they put all the teams together in one big group instead of dividing in two conferences and then just take the top 16, regardless of their conference.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you can make the argument then, you know, then why set up the schedule as it is based on conferences if in the end it doesn't matter. But that's for maybe the off-season shows that we'll have for sure.
Because technically playoff basketball should be the best basketball that you can get, right? So,
yeah. I mean, if it was just the best, then you would only have top 2-3 teams, right? Mm-hmm. You still need to make it somewhat entertaining for everyone. All right. Let's move very quickly to the East and talk about the bad luck that the Sixers have. And, man, I mean, last episode we were just talking about how we both sort of gave up on the process and we're tired of thinking that the Sixers are contenders. And then a few days ago we learned that Ben Simmons goes out with an injury and Embiid is now battling an ankle injury. It doesn't seem like Ben Simmons might come back to the bubble unless they make a deep run in the playoffs. And Embiid is supposedly okay, but obviously they're going to rest him. I just don't know. I don't know how Sixers fans survive. I don't know how they sleep at night. If I were rooting for the Sixers after all the process and all the drama and, you know, the rumors about trading either Embiid or Simmons, and now getting this news, I mean, if it seems like nothing's going to change in the East, so they'll be facing the Celtics in the playoffs. And as it is right now, I don't give the Sixers more than maybe winning one game, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if Ben Simmons and Embiid are not playing, I don't think they have a chance.
Embiid is, you know, supposedly playing in the playoffs, but Ben Simmons, it appears that he's not, unless they go, you know, conference finals or something like that.
Yeah, but it's one of these teams that, I mean, I think I stopped believing that they were real contenders a while ago. Maybe I still believe that they were contenders for the Eastern Conference. But even for the Eastern Conference now, it doesn't look like they're real contenders. I mean, the Bucks are, of course, the favorites when it comes to winning Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And then I think if you look at the standings right now, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Raptors are number 2 and the Celtics are number 3. And if you want to find the 76ers, you need to go all the way to this sixth spot, right? So it's not a coincidence. And after them, you have two teams that are only making to the playoffs because they are playing in the Eastern Conference. Otherwise, they wouldn't even make it to the playoffs. So the 76ers are lucky that they are not a Western Conference team because, let's see, they have a record of 42-29. They would make it to the playoffs, but I mean, they would be the Dallas Mavericks, I think. They'll be the 7th seed, right, in the West.
Correct, which is, I mean, not a big difference. But, okay, both their superstars, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, are under contract. For, I think Joel Embiid has another 2 years at the very least, and Ben Simmons has at the very least another 3 to 4. But is the experiment working? You know, if you're Elton Brand, do you maybe consider trading one of them and see what you can get back?
Yeah, you know what? It's an interesting question because you have, in the same team, you have a center that thinks he's a point guard and a point guard that thinks he's a center. So maybe if you separate them, maybe they could work perfectly in another team. If you put, for example, Joel Embiid with a point guard that knows that he's a point guard and tries to play as a point guard, then maybe it will work. And the same goes for Ben Simmons. Maybe if you put him in a team that needs a point guard that behaves more like a forward or a power forward, maybe it will work. But maybe putting both of them together, it won't work. It won't mix well, right? So I don't know. Maybe that's what they need to do now, because they tried every other option, really.
I mean, it reminds me of all that conversation about that we've had, or that the Blazers have across the throughout this time, about splitting CJ and Dame. But the Blazers have been fairly adamant at trading either one of them, and it sort of has paid off for them, where they've at least been in a playoffs team. And last year, you know, they went all the way to the conference finals. So I don't know, maybe you want to give it another year, but let's assume that Joel Embiid plays in the playoffs. Even if they don't make much noise during the playoffs, I don't think this would look good for Ben Simmons. So maybe you start dangling him and see which team is also desperate enough to make a big trade. I don't know. But I just feel bad for any Sixers fans out there listening. My heart goes out to you. I don't know how you can keep your blood pressure under control, honestly.
Yeah, it could be worse. You could be a Knicks fan.
Well, no, that's just straight up depressing, right? I mean, with the Sixers, your heart rate goes up and down, and you get very, very high highs and very low lows, right?
And you get to watch some playoff basketball.
And you get, yeah, and at least you have, you know, Joel Embiid is on social media and he's somewhat funny, but the Knicks have, I don't even think they have hope anymore.
It's all a matter of managing expectations. If you try to sell the fans the idea that you are fighting for the ring and for the championship, then, I mean, they're gonna be very disappointed when you just manage to achieve sixth seed and then you get knocked out of the playoffs after the first round. They're gonna be disappointed. But for example, I'm not trying to say that because they're my team, but the Trail Blazers, they manage our expectation quite well. We all know that we are not contenders for the title. As long as we make it to the playoffs and we get to watch some playoff basketball, we are happy. And if we overachieve, we are even happier. But I don't think we are at the point where we can think about a title right now. And that's fair. I mean, we know that. We are not, we were not sold false hope, right? So
I, that's important. In a very, I guess, super nihilistic way, you're right. You know, it's like, yeah, nothing matters, you know, as long as we're happy to be here kind of thing. You're right, yes. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, you were not in the playoffs, and today you are, and yeah, everyone seems to be happy.
But just taking it back to what you mentioned about the trade talks about splitting CJ and Dame, if the Trail Blazers decide to do that, they are risking not making to the playoffs like for a couple of seasons. And by keeping them together, at least they know that there's a high probability that they will make to the playoffs every season. And then they can move the pieces around them. And since they are both willing to stay, at least for now, I think you need to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, also, who knows how the trade scenarios worked out. And maybe there were calls. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that teams must have asked about Damian, if not CJ as well. So, but maybe it was just not enough for what the Blazers wanted. So it is what it is. And here we are with both teams, with the Sixers thinking they were contenders and now looking like there might be an early exit, and the Blazers, again, overachieving just like last season a little bit. But yeah. Okay, we still have to talk about the NBA awards. So let's go into our last topic of the bubble games, I guess. The titans of each conference, and I mean the Bucks, the the Lakers and the Clippers. I'm not including the Raptors, but you'll see why. They haven't been playing their brightest basketball in the past few games. Actually, the Bucks have lost two in a row. And the Lakers, they lost three in a row before winning yesterday on a buzzer beater by Kyle Kuzma. And the Clippers are 3-3 in the bubble. So none of the title favorites. I mean, the Bucks have only won twice also in the bubble. These three teams are contenders. And this is why I'm not including the Raptors, because the Raptors have only lost one game so far. So should fans of the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers be worried that those three teams are not going all in into these games? Are they saving themselves for the playoffs? What do you think?
I think the strategy is to save themselves for the playoffs a little bit. I'm not saying that they are not trying to win the games. Of course they are. But I think they are, at the same time, they are trying to save some energy. Now, problem here is that when playoffs start, psychologically speaking, the teams that have been winning, they're going to carry that positive momentum. And the teams that have been losing, they're going to be affected by their recent performance. So, I mean, you're going to be able to have to change that switch or flip back to winning mode and playing with all your energy, because if it takes you, I don't know, 2 to 3 games to go back to that level of performance, you might see yourself being knocked by the eighth seed. So, I mean, and the way the Trail Blazers have been playing, if the Lakers don't bring their A game, it's going to be tough. And even if they play against the Suns, if they don't bring their A game, it's going to be tough.
What about the Clippers? Do you think that, you know, fools that cheer for the Clippers and not the Lakers, whoever they might be, should they be worried as well that they're 3-3? And, you know, during the last loss of the Clippers, there's a clip of Kawhi yelling at the bench and, you know, he seemed frustrated.
I think that they should be more worried than the Lakers fans, because they are playing against the Mavericks. And I mean, the Mavericks are, I would say that they are more dangerous than the Suns or the Trailblazers playing against the Lakers. So to be honest, I'm not 100% convinced by the Clippers. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have some upsets in the first round of the playoffs, in both in the West and in the East Conference.
I can see that on the West for sure. Yeah. You know, I think whoever lands on the eighth, I don't care if it's the Blazers, the Grizzlies, or the Suns, and potentially the Mavericks, I think all those teams will still at least two games from the Lakers and the Clippers. I don't think the Lakers and the Clippers are ready for that intensity. But on a 7-game series, I'll still favor both LA teams to win it.
And I mean, if you look at the East, I don't think that the Brooklyn Nets or the Orlando Magic, they can upset the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors. But other than that, all of the other matchups are kind of leveled. The only thing is that we are not sure if the 76ers will have Ben Simmons or not. If he's not playing, then I think the Celtics will not have a big problem playing against them. But, you know, that's something that it's really exciting about bubble basketball. It's very unpredictable. And I really, really like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely given a different twist to how the season is ending and to the playoffs. I think that 7 and 8 spot on the Western Conference, they have the potential to steal 2-3 games out of the Lakers and the Clippers. On the East, I don't know. Maybe the Nets might punch the Raptors in the mouth, just because the Nets are out there with, you know, a team that was put together you know, the day before everyone had to travel almost, and they want to prove something. But having said that, the Raptors have been one of the most consistent teams throughout this time. So, and I don't see the Magic winning against the Bucks. Just I don't see that.
Yeah. I am looking forward to these playoffs. I don't remember when was the last time that I've been this excited for playoff basketball. And I think it has to do with how unpredictable this year playoffs are going to be. And to be honest, the games that I've watched, I haven't missed the fans that much. I mean, because you have the audio.
Now you see what I was talking about, that you feel transported.
Yeah, I mean, as a spectator from home, yes, but I still stand behind what I mentioned last week, that you cannot replace real fans. I don't want this to become something acceptable in the future after COVID-19. I don't want us to have situations where the league decides to take games to another country and then they just take games to a artificial
environment. Why would they do that? They want that money from the tickets, man. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
They would never do that. No. Neither of the teams would accept it. I don't. This was a very last resource to save the season. But, okay. We'll for sure have another podcast as soon as the season is over and we have some playoff scenarios, and we'll get this back to you guys as soon as possible. But let's quickly talk about the NBA awards, which, you know, feels like this season has lasted forever, and there's been a lot of conversations. And actually today the NBA said that there will be a bubble MVP and sort of a best team award for, you know, best team in the bubble. But we're not going to talk about those. We're going to talk about your regular awards. So MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player, Sixth Man, and Coach of the Year. So, Raf, do you make your picks?
You can start.
I'm not surprised. All right, I'm going to start with from the bottom to the top on what I consider, you know, the excitement of the award to be. So, I'm going to start with Coach of the Year. The Coach of the Year candidates are Mike Budenholzer from the Milwaukee Bucks, Billy Donovan from the Thunder, and Nick Nurse of the Toronto Raptors, and Coach of Team Canada. For me, this one's easy. It should go to Nick Nurse, no other coach. And this, I think it's easily compared that both Billy Donovan and Mike Budenholzer have a superstar, if not more than one, on their team. So obviously the Bucks have Giannis, Billy Donovan has Chris Paul, but Nick Nurse doesn't have that super superstar. I'm not saying that the Raptors are bad, but everyone assumed the Raptors would be at the bottom of the playoffs or not even make the playoffs this year after Kawhi left.
I am going with Billy Donovan.
What?
I think that nobody expected the Thunder to make it to the playoffs this year. Chris Paul is an aging superstar. He's not the same Chris Paul anymore. We didn't expect him to play at the same level, especially because he was coming from two teams where things didn't end up in the best way. So I am surprised to see the Thunder doing this well. They are not like the AFC. They are well positioned to make a good playoff run, and I wasn't expecting this. I expected the Raptors to make it to the playoffs. I didn't expect them to be the second seed, that's for sure. But I'm going with Billy Donovan. I think he's done a great job this year. I wouldn't go with the Buck, with the, what's his name? Budweiser?
Mike Budweiser, is that what you're going to call him from now on?
Yes, Mike Budweiser.
Not Coach Budweiser.
Coach Budweiser.
It's not him.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with him. I mean, no.
Okay.
Well, he's a great coach. He's a great coach, but he's not the Coach of the Year.
I'm not saying that you're wrong, but, you know, you're wrong.
Okay.
It should be Nick Nurse. And okay. I have an entire country that will back me up. Okay. Moving on. Best
should 16. Should we say our picks at the same time? Like you count to three and then we say our pick?
Why not? Let's see if we can make that work on Zoom.
Okay.
Best sixth man, the candidates are Montrezl Harris of the Clippers, Dennis Schroeder of the Thunder, and Lou Williams of the Clippers as well. You ready? One, two, three.
Lou Schroeder. Williams.
Really?
Yes.
Why Schroeder?
I'm just trying to be consistent here with my picks because I picked Billy Donovan for best for coach of the year. So
you don't have a real argument.
No, he's been playing very well. Otherwise, he wouldn't be one of the candidates, right?
I'm just going with Lou Williams because I'm tired of the conversation about if someone else should get it. Just give it to Lou Williams. Let's get it over with. He's the next Jamal Crawford. Like, just give it to the guy. I'm not hating.
You also don't have a real argument here.
Like, I mean,
you're just going with the flow. You just want to do the same.
I would give Lou Williams also an award, you know, even if we have to go make it a custom award for having the courage to go to a gentleman's club and then going back into the bubble. That takes a lot of guts to tell your employer, yes, I'm going to a funeral, but I'm making a pit stop at a strip club on the way back to work. I mean, that deserves an award on itself. So just given
he deserves the award of teammate of the year.
Sure. But yeah, that's my six-man pick. Just give it to Lou Williams. I don't care. Moving on. I'm upset now. Good job, Rafael. I'm upset. All right. Most improved player. This one should be fun.
This one is easy. It should be Carmelo Anthony.
The nominees are Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat, my son, Luka Doncic, of the Dallas Mavericks, and my former son, Brandon Ingram, of the New Orleans Pelicans. Ready? One, two, three.
Luka.
Brandon Ingram. Should be Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram.
In all fairness. I just called Luka my son. I adopted him the moment that he set foot on an NBA hardwood, but he just won Rookie of the Year. This is his second season in the league. So, of course, he should be better. It's his second year. He should know how things work even better. He should be more comfortable. I'm not okay with a second-year player getting most improved, especially after getting Rookie of the Year.
Oh, but you're okay with a second-year player getting Rookie of the Year?
What?
Yeah, because, I mean, when we had this argument before, whenever we had situations like Blake Griffin, that he was injured during his rookie year, and then he got Rookie of the Year during his second season.
I never said it was okay. I'm not okay with that.
Okay, because
I don't even get to vote, goddammit.
That's one of the worst things ever. I mean, when Donovan Mitchell was supposed to be the Rookie of the Year, they gave it to Ben Simmons, right? Because he was injured during his rookie year.
But focus. Most improved player. Why do you pick Luka?
I mean, because clearly he has improved a lot.
I mean, yes, but he was just Rookie of the Year. Of course, it's going to be even better. It would be regressing if he was worse than his rookie year, right? Versus.
Well, but there's a lot of players that play well during their rookie season and then they never manage to play at the same level anymore.
Right, but Brandon Ingram, you know, when he was with the Lakers, he showed a lot of promise. He was under a lot of pressure as well. And now with the Pelicans, he's really flourished into the offensive player that he should be. And he's really taken a jump in his game after, I think, this is his fifth year in the league. So, you know.
You know what? I'll give it to you. I'll give this one to you. Because you're clearly right. He's the player that has improved the most, both on the court and off the court, because he improved as a person. He's no longer a Laker.
That was, again, one of those bad jokes. You just want to take a shot at me. And, I mean, we got Anthony Davis. I can't complain.
He's the most improved player. He's no longer with the Lakers. I'll give you that one. Let's move to the next one.
He went to a team where the owner cares more about the football team than the basketball team. So much for an improvement. Congratulations, Brandon Ingram. Rafael voted for you. All right.
You voted for him.
I did, but I had good reasons. You're just out of spite. So
by the end of this discussion, I'm gonna change my pick and I'm gonna pick Brandon Ingram, and you're gonna change your pick and you're gonna pick Luka Doncic.
No, I love Luka. He'll be an MVP, mark my words, but just not most improved player. You know, he's too good for that. All right, Rookie of the Year. And I think this one should be simple as well, but okay. The candidates for Rookie of the Year are
Jamal. We haven't agreed once yet. So
yeah,
this might be the first one.
I think so. So we have Jamorant, Kendrick Nunn of the Miami Heat, and Zion Williamson of the New Orleans Pelicans. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jamorant. Yeah. I mean, Kendrick Nunn had a really good season as well, and he was fun to watch. And Zion, I haven't seen enough of him yet.
Yeah.
I think we both agree that he's going to be super exciting to watch as well, but this year was just, he was barely there.
Exactly. He hasn't played enough this year, so he's not going to win Rookie of the Year. I mean, there's a lot of excitement around him, but the Rookie of the Year should be Jamorant for sure.
You know, I will definitely be upset if for some reason Zion gets it. I know this is not the NBA. These are mostly journalists that vote. So I would be very, very upset if Zion gets it.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Defensive Player of the Year. And here we have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, and Rudy Gobert, who I don't think should be in the conversation, but he's already there.
You agree with Lou Williams being every year there on the conversation for six men, but you don't agree with Rudy Gobert
not this year. Okay. Other years I've agreed, but this one he used to play for the Blazers now. Your center.
He used to play for the Blazers, or he plays for the Blazers?
Sorry, he plays for the Blazers. Your center.
Nurkic.
No, not Nurkic.
Whiteside.
Yes, I think Hassan Whiteside was an even better defensive player.
Anyways. Yeah.
All right. But it is what it is. So, ready? 1, 2, 3. Anthony Davis.
I just wanted to wait for this one and see what you're going to say. Because I forgot the nominees. So you mentioned the nominees. I forgot the nominees, so I couldn't pick one.
Okay, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert.
I could only remember Rudy Gobert. So I was like, no, I don't want to pick him, but that's the only name that I remember. So I had to stay quiet.
So Anthony Davis or Giannis?
I would go with Anthony Davis as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis is also, he does everything, absolutely everything. But I think defensively, the Lakers depend a lot more on Anthony Davis's efforts than the Bucks do on Giannis's efforts.
Yeah, because everyone on the Bucks plays defense, right? It's not the same with the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a rim defender, I think Anthony Davis does a better job than, I mean, not that Giannis can stop anyone and swat any other shot, but I think Anthony Davis has the edge this year. But, I mean, Giannis is in both categories, is in two categories this year, which brings us to MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of controversial, but okay, so Giannis, I've already mentioned him, James Harden is back in the run for MVP. And LeBron James. So I know we will not agree already. So are you ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3. LeBron James. Giannis. Fair. I mean, I would vote for LeBron James, but I think realistically, Giannis will get it.
Yeah, I think he deserves this year. I think it's more controversial. It's a more controversial topic to talk about other players that could be nominees or candidates. I think it's much clearer this year who's going to get it out of these three. I think it's going to be Giannis for sure. But
you think so? I think last year was a lot more clearer that Giannis was going to be the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I don't know if I would have James Harden, but that's a lot of. I'm very biased against James Harden, even though I really respect him. But I don't think he's the definition of the most valuable player. But LeBron James this year has been vital for the Lakers as well, and he's the only player to ever average more than 25 points and 10 assists in a season.
Last season, was LeBron one of the nominees as well?
He was in the conversation. I don't think they did clear nominees last year, but he ended up in third or fourth. But he was also out in December with that injury, so he missed a bunch of games. And this year, you know, he's been healthy. He's not the dominant force that he was with Miami or with the Cavs, but he still dominates by controlling the game.
And do we know if this is going to be the new structure for the regular season awards? They always going to have three nominees for each category, or are they going to go back to the system where they allowed the media to vote on whichever player they wanted to vote for?
I mean, the media, obviously the results are probably in already. And the media still votes. I think they just decided to bring the fans a little bit, or let shine a little bit more light in the process by letting them know who were the top three candidates. Because usually, you know, you go by, it's sort of like the eye test. You just say like, you know, it's between Giannis and LeBron kind of thing. And then once the results are out, then you know who voted for whom and all that. So I don't know. I like it personally, you know, to have it narrowed down to three players and knowing who's in the run. But obviously if someone voted for, I don't know, Russell Westbrook, you know, they can still do it if they wanted. If, as long as they have a vote, they can vote for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One day we'll have a vote, Rafael, as Dropping Dimes.
We need to make sure that we record this and we keep it. When that day comes, we can play it back.
Sure. I'm not saying it's going to be soon, but one day. And, you know, it's not a forever thing. Some years you get it, some years you lose it. So, but one day we'll get to vote. All right, so there you have it, folks. MVP for Raf is Giannis. MVP for me is LeBron. Defensive Player of the Year, we both agreed on Anthony Davis. Rookie of the Year, we both agreed on Ja Morant. Most Improved Player, I have Brandon Ingram. Raf has Luka Doncic. Sixth Man, I voted for Mr. Wings, Lou Williams, and Raf voted for, who do you vote for? Oh, Dennis Schroeder, just because. And Coach of the Year, I have Nick Nurse, and Raf has Billy Donovan. So there you go.
That's it.
That's the recap.
And Evans is sending his picks so that we can post it on Twitter or on Instagram, and then we can see who gets the most correct answers.
I like that. Yeah, he's gonna send them now, I'm sure. And sorry, Evs, for what I said. Love you, man. But you also give me the soft take sometimes. So, all right.
Anything else?
I'm excited for Thursday, last day of the seeding games, and to see who makes it into the eighth spot. So very excited to see that, and super excited about the playoffs. Excited to just have basketball back.
If the Trail Blazers make to the Western Conference Finals, I'll buy a Carmelo Anthony jersey.
Are you serious right now?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, folks, there you have it. That's the teaser for today's episode. Rafael is going to buy a Carmelo Anthony jersey if the Blazers make it. So I've never wanted the Blazers to make it more now than ever.
And then we're going to probably just use it as some promotion or something. We're just going to give it away because I don't see myself wearing it.
No. You are going to wear that.
I'll wear it a couple of times and then we'll do a giveaway.
Okay. No, you're going to keep it.
I don't have a Damian Lillard jersey.
Hey, that's your problem. You just made it official on the podcast. So everyone, let's pray. Let's put our hands together and pray for Rafael to get that jersey.
I have a Brandon Roy jersey, but then after what happened, I bought the jersey and then he became injury prone and then he had to retire. So I don't want to do the same with Lillard because I don't know if I had something to do with that bad luck.
You hate Carmelo so much that you might want to do that.
That's not the reason why I'm doing it.
Okay. All right, folks. As always, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. If you're on Instagram, please follow us on @dropping.dimes. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're a lot more active these days, @dropping_dimes1. Facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. On our website to check out our episodes and whatever we decide to post in the future, it's www.dropping-dimes.com. If you want to drop us an email, invite us to collaborate, or send us your questions. Maybe you want to pitch in for Rafael to get that Carmelo Anthony jersey. It's contact@dropping-dimes.com. I think that's it for this episode. So this is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.